You're listening to the After Hours Podcast. Well, how's your morning?
No comment. No, I'm just kidding. No, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. Everything's cool. I've had a very challenging week. I think we both have, but my morning, to answer your question, my morning is okay. It's Friday for me, and I don't know. I'm trying to see the light.
The light at the end of the tunnel. I've said that phrase probably 20 times this week.
Light at the end of the tunnel, but really it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
So why don't you tell everybody, because I've heard it a million times this week, about you have yelled this week.
How many times?
Probably 50.
That was just yesterday.
Okay. Tell everybody about your car situation.
I seem to remember telling them about the car situation. I've shared my bad luck with cars. That's what I remember doing. But I have two cars. I drive a beater. One of them's a nicer car. It's been sitting for a year. I took it to the shop, spent $1,600 on getting it fixed. I was feeling good. Wow, my second car is feeling great. I go home. I park it. And then I go, I'm going to go to the gym. I come home from the gym. It was like the movie. I'm like, dude, where's my car? The car got towed right after I got it. I was gone an hour. So I go, okay. And of course I had to completely blow a lid off of that. And then the next day I get the car, park the car in the same spot it got towed, drive to work. Literally, park the car, get in my other car, drive to work, and the key must have grown legs and walked out of here and went to Timbuktu because it is gone. Not in my car, not in my office, not in my laundry, not in anywhere.
What happened between the time you went from your house to the gym?
The night that it got towed? It got towed.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if the key was somewhere with you between the time that you...
No, but check this out. But I had it after that because that's the day it got towed.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then so when they took it to the lot, they didn't have the key. So I had the key in my room, right? And then when Skylar took me to the lot to pick up the thing, they were like, all right, pay me $310 and bend over. No, I'm just kidding. And then I drove it to Hawthorne. And Skylar was following me.
Okay, so
and
between...
I didn't get back in his car either. I was like, wait, Skylar? I was like, no, but I literally parked it, locked it, and then got in my white car that I have.
Okay, so between the time that you parked it and you walked from your car to your apartment, you had to physically take the key out and lock that door, right?
Yes, because the fob doesn't work, so I had the key to lock it outside of the car from the outside.
Okay, so you locked it, what did your hand do? Did it go in your pocket?
I feel like I remember it being in my pocket, which is why I was 100% convinced yesterday it was in the laundromat. Or not the laundromat, the laundry bin. Or in my pocket, and it wasn't.
Okay, did you do your laundry, or did you just put your laundry in the basket?
Nope, I did my laundry, because then I went through every pocket. And it was not in there.
Did you look in the washer and dryer? You didn't, did you?
No.
See? That's one.
And you know what I also did is instead of putting the clothes away, I put them on the floor.
Of course you did. Because you
pissed.
Of course you did.
So maybe there's one more. Okay, yeah. And then I saw the maintenance guys at Hawthorne. And I was like, if you guys find a key, let me know.
Okay. So we need to check the dryer vent, the washer, the top of the washer, on the floor.
I know. It's got to be. And then I'm going through all of this, and it's just been I have had a hell of a week. Stress. And it's been awful. I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, and then I'm like thinking I'm going to get a key made. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to find the fucking key. And then it's going to piss me off again.
Well, then you have a spare. Just look at it like that. Then I have a spare, and then you leave it at work here.
I'm genuinely thinking about just parking it next to a dumpster and lighting that thing on fire and just, you know, roasting some
marshmallows,
some hoagies.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Serious. And then through all of this, a lesson I'm trying to do, it was Morgan Freeman, and I don't know what movie it was from, but you showed me this video of wise man Morgan Freeman, free woman, and he's like, I'm gonna actually butcher it a little bit, but he's like, if you pray for patience, is God just gonna give you patience, or is he gonna give you an opportunity to be patient?
Right.
And I'm going through all this, and I'm like, especially in the middle of the week, I'm like, okay, I just got done freaking out, blowing, you know, and Bella's scared. And then I'm like, next time this happens, I got to make sure to just be cool. And then something else will happen. I'll be talking about it again. And I'm like, you know.
Right.
So I really need, and then I'm worried about blasphemy.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So we were talking about that this morning. Like, he was asking me, what is the definition of blasphemy? Obviously, that's speaking ill of, you know, God, religion, that kind of thing. And yeah, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are...
Tell everybody what happened this morning. I mean, you don't have to say what happened. But.
Well, okay, so today's Friday, and this has been going on literally all week, and it's just been one inconvenience after another, one stress after another, one freak out after one mental breakdown after another. It just keeps, and then during the process, I'm like, I stop for a moment. I go, Lord, Heavenly Father, grant me the strength and the wisdom to approach this and slow down in a manner that is going to be through you, through your light, and just get me out of my worldly mind, please. I want to, and then something else will happen, and I'll forget that prayer, and I'm like, fuck. And then there's certain people in my life that I feel comfortable enough to be frustrated with. You're one of them. My mom's one of them. There are people in my life where if I'm hot about something, I can actually really let loose and actually just be like, what? You know, life sucks, you know. Because some people you put a face on, you know. I'm not going to freak out in front of certain right. people, you right. know. Paul comes in. I'm not going to be like, ah!
Right.
You know.
Right.
But so I was having a conversation, and I was okay and everything, and then this person was asking me about the situation, did you find a key and everything, and I'm like, no, I didn't, and then we start getting into conversation again, and then it's like, before the conversation, I wasn't upset about it. I mean, I've been upset the entire week, but I was not blowing my lid off, you know, and then the act of just having the conversation again re-sparked it, and then I get re-upset, like, it's like the frustration takes over me again, and I just start, and then what I feel like with my understanding of the word blasphemy, I think I committed that, and it's, and then I was like immediately like regretful, upset that I did that, and just super annoyed with myself, and I was like, damn it, did I really just say that? And then I did like a 10-minute prayer. I was like, oh, Lord. I was like, I really did it this time. And unfortunately, that wasn't the first time in my life. You know, it's right. been the first time recently. But when I was younger, I would, you know, I think it's an easy cop-out to be like, oh, it's his fault. And then just throw the middle fingers up and like, yeah, yeah. And like, I'm a piece of shit, right? You know, I'm like, and it's unfortunate that I have had that. But recently, I have let go of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't even want to say the God's name in vain anymore. There are certain things that I've let go of. And then this particular situation, I said what I said, and I was like, damn it. And then I came to you. I was like, I think I just did blasphemy. And then I'm worried that it's unforgivable.
Yeah, and...
Did I say that right? Then was that
I mean, you said... Yeah, that's basically the story that you had told me this morning. And, like, we talked about the word blasphemy, and, like, we talked about, like being forgivable and that kind of thing. And I think the thing that you need to think of is like, how many times does somebody walk into your life and you like curse them out or you say, I hate that person.
Every day at 3 p.m.
Every day at 3 p.m. I know. But it's kind of the same thing. Like what you said wasn't good. But at the same time, like I feel like God is very merciful and loving and just. And
just
you,
what? No, I'm just kidding.
You... realized after you said it that, wow, I can't believe I said that. And what happened? You said a prayer and you were like, please, I didn't mean it. I'm so sorry. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I just hope I think I'm crazy.
You're not crazy.
But it's just, it's like, I almost feel like if I can, if I'm comfortable enough around you to be that upset and I show you that I'm that upset, it's like, I don't know, does it do something for me to be like, yeah, this person knows so, and I'm upset. I want it to be known that I'm upset. Like why? Like, I don't know what
it's that just
is.
A comfort level. That's all it is. Like, yeah. It's just, you're comfortable with me. You're comfortable with your mom. You're comfortable with Heavenly Father. Right? Because you said that, those yes. things to him.
When you're comfortable around someone, then you fight, right?
You do. Mm-hmm.
Oh, when you're in a relationship, when you're dating, you're going to be like, oh, that's a little bit of annoyance, but like, I'm not going to say anything. Like, oh, yeah, let me feed you the cookie.
Well,
oh,
no. When you're and dating.
When you're married, you're like, listen, if you fart one more time next to me, I'm going to.
But yeah, because when you're dating, what are you doing? You're basically trying to put on your best face for that person so that person will like you. But you have to remember, like in the dating world, like it's a show until you
yes.
commit to that person. And then it's all like, yeah, you should want to be with that, like a person that loves you and you're good, you're bad, you're ugly, you're
yes.
you're like your stinky breath, you're yes. like, oh my gosh, your hair's a mess. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, you need to groom, whatever. You know what I mean?
You need to groom your ass.
But it's the same thing, you know what I mean? It's yeah. like, it's like when you're that comfortable with somebody that you can like change your, or not really change, but you can show them your
sides, that
the sides that you don't
typically hide around someone.
You're right.
Like, yeah. Well, there's been times where I'm at work, we're at work,
right.
and I'm like, are we fighting?
Right. And sometimes I'm like, no. Like yesterday you came to me and you were saying something and I was like, what are you talking about? Like I had no clue what you were talking about. And you, it was in the morning and you, or was it in the morning? Yeah, it was in the morning and you were just thinking that like you had messed
the
up. Yeah, you had messed up.
It was after my car. Oh yeah, because someone else had said something. Oh, that's right. I remember.
And I was like, what are you talking? Like I had no clue.
Well, that's a little bit differently because that's, I was looking at that from a manager standpoint where I was like, I don't want you to feel like you're in the dark anywhere or like that you're taking too much on, that I'm not doing something. But yes, that was a little version of that. But there's been times where we'll be talking about something and maybe it's a situation that's a little bit, it's not like rainbows or anything. And then I'm like, Olivia. And then I'll say, stand up. Say, stand up. I'm like, let's not fight. And you're like, we're not fighting. I'm like, well, you just hit me.
Well, whatever. I'm afraid that when you tell people that, they honestly think that I'm hitting you. Because you said that to...
Let me make it... Who did I say that to?
You said that to somebody yesterday. Oh, it was Chanel.
Oh, yeah, it was Chanel.
And like, you said that, and I was like, oh my gosh.
She laughed, and she goes, do you need a number to call? And I'm like, yeah. No. I'm going to put on the record right now. You have never hit me.
Thank you.
I'm blinking.
Whatever. No. But let's go back to the whole like blasphemy thing. Okay. So I feel like it's the same thing with God. Like it's like you're talking to him, you're like saying stuff and sometimes you get heated. Like I get that, you know, I think a lot of people get heated like that and they say things that they don't mean or they say things out of anger and then they realize later that they said things.
Well, and for me, it's when I'm angry and I'm saying things, even when I'm pissed and I'm saying them, I know I don't mean them, but it just does something to, you know, okay, maybe here's a good example. When you're pissed off and you put boxing gloves on and you just beat the hell out of the bag, yeah. out of the punching bag, and you're just like, oh, it just feels good to just give it your all. Maybe that's what it is. You don't really want to hurt anybody. You're not really, you know, that act of like hitting something and like letting that tension out is
right.
good, but you're not really trying to hurt anything. And it's a little bit different because the words that I'm saying are hurtful, but I know I don't mean them. Even when I'm saying them, I don't mean them, but it's maybe I'm letting you know that I'm just having a fucking time. Like
right.
the worst time ever. What I'm saying is evident.
Like I think that therapy would be really good for you because
I'm crazy.
No, it's not that you're crazy. Like even if you don't have any mental illnesses and stuff like that, like therapy is always like a good thing.
Do you remember when Eddie said something like, I think there's something wrong with you?
Yeah, like, okay, so this was funny. So he was sitting on my couch in my office.
Eddie.
Eddie, yeah. And I was in there, and you were in your office, and you had said something, and he goes, have you ever thought about seeing someone?
I was like, excuse me?
I was laughing so hard, just because, like, it came out of nowhere. It was funny at the time. But honestly...
Do you think I'm crazy?
I don't think you're crazy. I think that...
You think I'm nuts?
That's the same thing. Oh. Crazy and nuts.
Do you think
same
I'm
thing.
Loco?
A little bit. Okay.
Why? Loco?
No, but here's the thing, is that, like, we all handle stress differently. This yeah. isn't... It was a learned trait that happened to you, like, because you're not born just every time anxiety hits you to blow up. You didn't learn yeah. that at 2 years old. You know what yeah. I mean? It wasn't, like, something that, like, you were born with. So you saw it. How does your mom...
Very...
And how does your mom handle stress? Oh, what does P do?
Like, it's quick. Like, I've never seen this how quick sometimes. Like, and that's probably some of the reason. You know, I got to take responsibility for who I am as a man. But at the same time, I remember being young, and it's just like... flip of a dime. It's like, what? You know, I've seen her put scissors to a wall. Like, she, like, hit the drywall. Like, she was putting right. holes in the drywall with some scissors.
And so...
And it's like, wait, someone just said hi to you, and you're doing that? No, it wasn't hi. But
no, I get it. Like, in stressful situations.
Yeah.
Like, I panic. I cry. I stress out. Yeah. And I've realized when I get stressed, situations like that, I don't do what you do. Like, you just yell and swear and, like...
And then, like, a few minutes later, I'm fine.
Yeah, and yours is quick. Yours happens, and you get over it very fast.
You linger.
Linger, and I think about it, and I stress about it quietly, and I cry.
You don't know it.
And I cry.
You don't know it.
Well, it depends on who it is, who it's to. It's funny because, like, I'm totally comfortable with you, but I don't want to see you. I don't want you to see me.
You leave.
Stress out.
You leave. Remember that day you left a few days ago? I was like, me and Eddie were sitting there in the office. I was like, where's Olivia?
Oh, yeah. I left. I just left. I didn't say bye. I just, like, left. It's just because sometimes I need that quiet.
Yeah.
And I've realized for me, the best time for me, or the best thing for me, is when I'm really stressed out, is not to talk about it. And I didn't come to that realization until I turned 40. Like, when I turned 40.
You got 15 years until you're 40. What are you talking about?
Okay. So, sorry, I got the number wrong. But
so you turned 4.
Yeah. So, what for me, that is the time that I realized that I do better in silence.
Interesting.
But not that's not everybody's, like, thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, and that's so interesting. I don't know what mine is. I think at this point in my life, if I'm being honest, especially this year and especially the end of this year, I think there's a big mirror in front of me, and I'm really trying and hoping and putting in work to look within. Especially with relationships, because that's where the comfort comes out. And my mom sees it, you sees it, but when you're living with someone and they see you when you wake up and when you go to bed, right. everything, that's the most intimate, and that's the most, that the person that you're with usually knows you the best. And I'm really putting in the work to try to figure out, and I'm actually coming to the realization that, like, whoa, I've actually done, you know, like taking ownership and, like, you know, because it's so easy when you get out of a relationship to be like, yeah, they're this and that, but what about yourself? What about you? And I think that's where the growth comes in, when you know, hey, I'm not perfect either, and all that stuff. And some of it is this, some of it is the way that I handle stress or anger or whatever, you know, because it's, although I've done some things blasphemy wise, I've also said some things in a relationship where I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to call you a hog. You know, I'm like, you fucking hog, you know, like, you mule. Yeah. You know, and then, you know, it's like, and then it's, I can tell the things that were really upsetting, because it's like, oh my gosh, it's like months later. It's like, yeah, you know, like, you said that, you know, and I'm like, oh geez, that made a mark on someone's heart, that there's going to be a scar there now for, because of A, something I didn't even mean. I didn't even mean to say something like that, but I have this thing with anger. And, well, I don't like this episode.
No, this is good because I'm sure like a lot of people can relate. Like, and I think that therapy would be good because that is a big thing. Like how you handle stress is completely different than how I do.
I handle stress very healthy. Don't you think?
Very, very healthy. But there
I think at times I do.
But there are ways to cope with that where you can learn. But that's a therapy thing, like because you're not taught these things.
You're not taught these things. You're right. But you know what I think happened 10 years ago is the first time I walked into an acting class. And at that point, that was the first time I had what you would call somewhat therapy. And I remember the acting coach was really getting in because you have to, you know, of all people, you have to tap into emotions and you have to use that emotion to portray whatever it is that you're trying to portray in the script. And I had a hard time at 23. I had a real hard time doing that because he was, I did a couple of private classes with him. He goes, you know what I think you do? I go, what? Because I was struggling in acting class, especially the group. Everyone's watching you. He was like, you stuff. He's like, you don't feel. And not that you don't
feel. No, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
Like if you have something that happens, you just stuff it down and you smile and you just don't do anything. So that was 10 years ago. And I think I did that in my childhood. And I think now, instead of stuffing, I'm like, stuffing sounds really good, by the way. Thanksgiving's coming up. But instead of stuffing things, I think now it's the opposite. Now, I think I've done that for a long time. So now it's just like, I'm like, oh, things, you know, now you're not going to know. Like, it's not a secret if I'm upset or stressed or frustrated or happy. All the emotions, even the good ones. Because I think I wear them on my sleeve now. But I just thought about that because you're talking about therapy and I've never really done therapy, but the acting, I'm not saying acting class is therapy because that'd be.
But they pointed out something that they saw.
He was analyzing my emotions.
Right.
For his game.
Was this Rob? Rob Diamond.
Yes.
Yeah. He's in the acting world. Everybody knows him.
It was therapeutic, just him and I sitting in a class. Hour sessions for a few times, you know, and I was just being honest. And his purpose was to make me be, you know, to be a better actor. But
one thing that I've observed, okay, so you said you stuffed. I didn't know that. So you stuff your feelings down. You like, you're silent. You like,
and I just, hey.
But what is that's like the that's an extreme, right? People that are just dismissive or either dismissive avoidance or fearful avoidance. Those people stuff. Uh-huh. Now, you went to stuffing your feelings to letting them all out. You went from one extreme of the spectrum. No, I know, but you went from one extreme to the other extreme. There is a middle ground.
Yes, and that's that middle ground I'm trying to search for. Yes, you said that perfectly.
And that's why I think therapy would be good for you because you can go into therapy and you can be like, this is my problem. This is what I do. This is how I act. Why did I go from stuffing my feelings from... you know, not talking about it, not reacting to the complete extreme.
Opposite. Both extremes.
Right.
You know, the difference between either end is the intention behind it because I didn't intentionally stuff things and I didn't intentionally start blowing my lid either. It just was one of those things that I didn't put any thought as to why I was doing it. Now at 32 years old, now at this point, now realizing God's who he is and how great he is. I'm like, you know what is the intention behind this? Like, okay, let's dig into why did I do that as a child? Why am I doing this as a 32-year-old man? Where's that middle ground? The intention of looking within. Because 10 years ago, at Jet going to acting class, it's just like, I'm drinking, having a good time, things happen, I'm stuffing them, blah, blah, blah. There was no intention behind it.
Right. But I do want to say this. Like, I've seen you go from, like, the left to the right, like, and I don't mean like sides. I just mean like
politically.
No, not politically. Not politically. No, but I've seen you go from like one person to the other, like really soul searching. Like I've seen like this, like
you've seen that.
Yeah, I've totally seen this like shift in you. Like you're more. Oh, completely. So there has been like things.
It's called schizophrenia.
That is not what it's called. But there are disorders where people explode and they blow up. And I don't think you have that. But a lot of the ups and downs, you definitely could be a little bipolar.
Whoa, I don't like this episode.
But I'm just saying that's something that they would need to look into. Do you see what I'm saying? That's not saying that you have that. But what is bipolar? Bipolar is extremes to extremes.
You know what? You know what? I do know about my dad, that everyone, this is coming from his best friend and from my family, they go, when he was up and down. When he had the highs, he had the highest highs, but he had the lowest lows.
So that's very bipolar. Bipolar, you know, when we joke, we say the weather in Utah is bipolar. One day it'll be sunny and warm, and then the next it'll be like snowing. That's like an extreme high, extreme low.
Yes.
That's what bipolar is. And I'm not saying that you have that, but that would be a therapy thing to determine if there is some underlining like issue. Because listen, if it came to light that, let's say you did have it. They said, yes, Jet, we think that you're a little bipolar. Okay, there's medication to help you stabilize that. So at that point, you're like, oh, this is not as extreme as it needs to be. Like, I feel way better.
They're like, okay, take this pill. Okay, put this white gown on. We're going to hook you up to these monitors.
You're not crazy.
Uh-oh. Do a shock therapy. Uh-oh. Next thing you know, you're Jack Nicholson.
So I had this experience I have to tell you about. Okay, so I go to Florida a lot. And I was in Florida with one of my closest friends. His name was Philip. And we were at the airport. And I knew he'd never been diagnosed with being bipolar. But I knew in my heart he was bipolar, you know. And we're sitting there. And I had gone up and I had checked my bag. And I was waiting for him. And I was kind of a little farther away because it was like there was a crowd. So I was like, I'm just going to move away, right? So I had moved away and I was just playing on my phone and I heard his voice and it got louder and louder and louder. And I was like, and then I looked up to see what's happening. And he was yelling, screaming at the Delta agents, like at the ticket counter. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, he is not going to pull this today. Like, I'm not missing my flight. I am not, you know.
You got to get out of here.
Right. And so, they told him, they said, you're off the flight. And I was like,
ugh. Oh, no. They wouldn't let him on.
They kicked him off the flight. And I was like, I'm leaving.
Oh, what?
Because he exploded of something that was so minor. Yeah, it had so something minor to do with like his bag was over like too heavy because he had bought a lot of stuff while we were there. And like, all he had to do was take something out or give it to me because I had an extra bag, right? Yeah. Like, and he wouldn't do that. He just wanted to blow up because he saw it as being the person's fault.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's not what it was. It was like, look, it's going to cost you this much money. Do you want to get rid of stuff? Do you want to give something to someone else? Do you want to wear another couple shirts? Like, what do you want
to
do?
Yeah,
there's
a way to solve this. Yeah.
Right. And I was so embarrassed. I think it was because like I see these little blow ups all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but like in a very, very extreme public place, I was.
See, that's
like,
my nightmare though. I feel like I only blow up around people. Again, kind of echoing off of what I said earlier. Although sometimes I go, I'm going to give this person, you know, I hate this person, blah, blah, blah. Even though I don't hate anybody.
Right.
The idea of making a scene in public is my nightmare. I couldn't do that. I only freak out with people that I feel comfortable with. Like if the whole team was in the office, there's no way I was going to do that.
Right. I've noticed that.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm not going to or in a public, like if I'm mad at the airport, I'm going to internalize that, which is not good either. There's got to be a way that I can release that and not just stuff it and then be like, you know, I don't know.
Right. But if a therapist or somebody came to you and said, Jet, this is manageable. Let me give you the tools to manage it.
Yeah.
You would accept that. You would be like, yes, I know what to do. I know how to handle it. You liked that video that I sent you about the Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freewoman.
Where he's like, he basically was like, if you ask something about your family, like if you ask like for patience or something, I don't remember what it was.
Like, he was like, if you're going to ask God for patience, he's not going to just give it to you.
Right.
He's going to give you an opportunity to show patience.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to like think about that. Like, how are you handling the situation? You know what I mean? Just like be a little more, I'm not going to explode. I'm going to be calm. I've heard that people that are anxious, which is me and you, do really good with sour candy. And the reason
I love sour candy.
Right. And the reason is because anytime you're anxious, you pop in like a Warhead.
A Xanax.
Or, well, yeah, that'd be nice. If anybody wants to prescribe me Xanax.
I was on it. I got it off of it.
Oh, I would love it. Nobody will prescribe it to me. But anyway, is to pop a sour candy because it immediately brings your brain back to like the like space where you're not anxious anymore. And I've never tried it, but I feel like I should. I feel like that would help me, benefit me. Maybe you should have extra candy, and that specific candy is only for like anxiety moments.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, but if they're in my office, they're gonna be gone. I'm happy.
But you can have an anxiety candy bowl, and you can have a candy bowl. I can eat this one, but I can't eat these. These are for anxiety moments. And every day at 3 o'clock when you get really riled up, you can take one of those and see if it helps you and it brings you down a little bit. Maybe we should do an experiment.
We should. No, that makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I'm just trying to see. Like right now, I feel so good. And I wish I can keep my wits to me, you know. And that's going to be the goal. And I think I can achieve that. But yeah, it's just so weird. Like our minds, our heads are so weird.
You know, somebody asked me once because I don't know if I've mentioned my OCD, but I have OCD, and it's pretty extreme. But I don't have the compulsions with it.
No.
And so. I mean, cleaning, I'll clean and stuff like that, but like not, you know, when you have to like tap light switches and stuff, I don't do that.
Oh, yeah. Remember that, what was that Leonardo DiCaprio movie when he was, The Aviator. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, I love that movie.
You know, he's super
right.
And he ends up cutting his hand.
I guess I do a little bit of that, but here's the thing. I do, yeah. Like, where was I going with this? Like, it was like something about my OCD. Oh, if they had, yeah, I don't have a lot of the compulsions, but like if they were to come and they were to say, I can fix this for you, I would be all ears. I'd be like, tell me, what do I have to do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm the same way. If something is manageable, that's great. But I worry, and this is another conversation. We can get into this in another episode, but I worry about like, when I walked into a doctor's office, I was like, I have a hard time sleeping. They're like, Trazodone, here you go. Instead of like, that's just a symptom of something that I have. We're not trying to get to the root of what I have that's causing me to not sleep. They're just like, oh, okay, you can't sleep. Let's give you something to make you sleep. Or instead, just be like, why don't we do a blood test? Why don't we figure out what's making me, because am I low in something else or whatever? They just go here. So if I have these certain things, I just, and again, it's not like I'm against medication. I'm on sleeping medication, but I wish there was a way that I could like figure out something natural.
Yeah, and I think that once you have a diagnosis, before you jump into medications, then you can go, okay, what is manageable for things like this?
That's natural
because
yeah,
I know I have anxiety. I know that the candies are supposed to work. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I've never tried
it. It's natural.
But I've never tried it. And so I think what it is like the diagnosis is first. So if it's just pure anxiety and you just show it by like blowing up, okay, that's totally manageable. Yeah. But if there's an underlying condition where let's say you do have bipolar, or let's say it's explosive, there's a one called something explosive disorder or something like that. Let's say it's one of those, then you can look into the natural remedies to cure that or to fix whatever in your brain is causing you to react in a certain way.
See, and I feel like I'm not against that whatsoever. And I'm not against being diagnosed with, you know, I'd love to figure out what's going on because I've spent 32 years trying to manage it myself and done good some ways, and some ways I feel like I can do better. And yeah, I mean, there's no shame, and there's nothing wrong with trying to get help.
No, not at all. And once you know that this is your problem, and you know that you blow up when you get stressed.
Mm.
And so if you always have that on your mind, then okay, I need to lessen my stress, or I need to take a break at this time every day, or I need to do this to manage it a little better. Then
yeah,
it's just going to help you.
Maybe just get back on ashwagandha.
Well, ashwagandha is good. There's actually things that are better than ashwagandha.
Percocets.
No. No.
Tequila. Sorry.
No. Anyways. Well, thanks for sharing your story. I know this was a little bit of a...
This one was a... I liked it, but oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it makes you think. It makes you think, what can I do?
White robes on. Every time people see me, they're going to be like, put this gown on.
You're not crazy. That's the thing. You're not crazy.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm doing this podcast by myself. You're not even here. Oh my gosh. Where's Olivia? She's gone. Have I been talking by myself the entire time? Olivia.
Anyway, I think a lot of people can relate to like my stuff, can relate to anxiety, can relate to the like dismissives, can relate to the anxious and everything. So thank you for sharing. And yeah, and we didn't even know what we were going to talk about today, but I think that this was a good time to talk about like stresses in life and like therapy and like medication and all that.
Well, and it was fitting. It was a good way to put a bow to a nice, beautiful week that I've had. Yeah. No, but hey, you don't have a case on your phone.
I know. It's because I have an old phone and I'm pretty sure that I need to get a new iPhone because my battery lasts for like 30 minutes and then it's dead.
They do that on purpose, by the way. These phone companies, we're on to you. You make the phone like really good for 6 months, and then after 6 months, the next 6 months is just like average, and then after the year, it's like toast.
Yeah, and you know, I was an Android user for years.
Me too.
And then I switched to iPhone, and once I switched to like, you know, Apple, I was like, I can't switch back now.
Same. My first iPhone was in 2015 when I moved to Utah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was always Android. Yeah.
That's crazy. But I just don't know how. And I've thought about it. I was like, Android phones are cheaper, you know, whatever. But I just can't.
Team Apple.
I just can't pull myself away from Apple. And then I have an Apple Mac. I have a laptop. And then I have 3 iPads.
Have you ever heard that Apple was evil? And when we're looking at your phone right now, it's an Apple that's bitten out of because it's been the forbidden fruit and we bit into it.
Oh my gosh. I never like put 2 and 2 together. Is that why?
Who knows? Who's to say? I think who knows, but that's what I've heard. It's probably just a
And who knows if it was even the Apple or what?
Yeah, it could have been
Why do they always draw it as a pear? Have you ever noticed that?
The biblical thing?
Like, yeah, if you'll see like pictures they always make it like pear shaped.
I don't know. Maybe it was a forbidden pear.
Wow, maybe.
Maybe it was a forbidden bag of hot Cheetos.
That's funny. Anyways, okay. Well, I hope that everybody has a good week. I hope you have a good day.
Hi.
We're not starting that again. Okay. And I guess we will catch you next week.
We'll catch you on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
Flippity flip. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.